Parsha, where the Sefer Shomer talks about, he contrasts the concept of Esau to the concept of Yaakov. He talks about Esau, as we know, as symbolizing that which is complete. In fact, Esau in Gematria is the same as Shalom, as whole, as a peace. Because the essence of Esau was that he was at peace with himself. When things went wrong with him, in terms of not getting the bracha that he thought he deserved, he immediately externalized blame. Because somebody who feels complete can't imagine that when there's stress in life, that they should look inside and look at themselves. In contrast, the Sefer Shomer says, in contrast, Yaakov is all about the concept of being at the bottom, being in a place where you view yourself as constantly striving, constantly trying to not be satisfied with where you are, trying to look to grow. And that's the essence, as I was thinking about, the essence of what tonight is about. You know, you don't often take a step back to think about a father, to think about a mother. And this affords us all an opportunity to see my father through the eyes of others. And what's amazing when I think about it is how his entire life has been about constantly growing, constantly looking for new ways to connect, new ways to meet people. And as you all know, those of you who have developed a relationship with him, once he knows you, he becomes extremely curious about you. He really remembers details about your life. And he connects in a way that every one of his family members feels like he really wants to know all about them. And the same thing in terms of his relationship to Torah. You would think that a man who, Bli Ayin Hara, is 95 years old, would at some point rest on his laurels and not constantly be looking for new divrei Torah or new ways of thinking or new thoughts to give in a shir. But it's every day is new. Every day is about growth. Every day is about going from that Yaakov place to a place of growth. 55 years ago, I saw, when you walk in, one of the very nice pieces of history hung up is my father's life contract. It was given to him by this shul when he was here for 10 years. I was 10 years old. I'm 65. I was born, I think my bris took place right as my father was starting to be the Rav of the White Shul. And I remember very vividly this story, which has been repeated to me, is the day after the dinner where he was given the life contract with my 10-year-old head. My father wakes me up to go with him to shul. And I said, wait, you got a life contract. You don't need to go to shul anymore. And he, okay. And you know what? I still haven't got a shul. Okay. And he continued to go to shul. And it's the essence of the theme of what we're talking about tonight. You know, I'll just end with one of my favorite studies in the last year or two. Some of you may have heard me talk about it. It's a study done, psychological study, done by Ellen Langer at Harvard. And here's what she does. She takes 8 men who are older, in their 70s and their 80s, back when it was old, when 70 was old. 70 isn't old anymore. 95 isn't even old, okay? So she takes 8 men, and she puts them in a converted, it's actually a converted monastery. But they totally switch it around to look like the world looked when these men were 40 years old. They change the wallpaper. They change the pictures. They put up black and white televisions. And they tell the men the following. We want you to spend the next 5 days thinking about yourself as being 40 years old. But not only think about yourself as being 40 years old, treat each other like you're 40 years old. And they literally had to do everything for themselves. And then they compared them to another group of men who the following week spent the same 5 days in this converted monastery and were treated like their age. Here's what happens. Independent raiders raped the men, not knowing which of the two groups they were in. And 100% of the time, they say the men who thought of themselves as younger and were treated as younger, they were rated as looking significantly younger just 5 days later. But here's where it gets weird. Their vision significantly improves. Okay? They, literally, their flexibility improves. And it's something not written about in Dr. Langer's paper. A newspaper reporter who covered this study reports that as the men were waiting for the bus to take them home at the end of the 5 days, they spontaneously broke into a game of two-hand touch football. Okay? Why am I ending with this study? I'm ending with this study because of that Karas HaTov that I have, my siblings have, our whole family has, for the amazing impact that not just tonight's event, and we're eternally grateful to Sandy and to Rabbi Helfgott and to the entire committee and to the whole shul for doing this. But what I've seen in the 65 years that I've been growing up in this community, and what we've all seen, is that my father has been surrounded with the love and expectations and belief of everybody in the shul in him. The unbelievable connection, the unbelievable love that was reflected so beautifully this morning. And for the first 35 years in this shul, my mother-in-law Shalom was at his side, also believing in him, also enveloping him with love. And we can never, ever express our amazing level of Hakaras HaTov to Bubby Shirley, who has literally kept my father not only going, but she's kept him going with unbelievable kind of energy. I mean, you just can't resist the energy and the belief and the love of this remarkable, remarkable woman. So, I just want to say thank you to everybody. The amazing, amazing model that my father has been for this community and for Klal Yisrael and especially for our family is something that comes very much as a result of the belief and connection and love that was what today was all about. So thank you to everybody. And it's my pleasure now to introduce Avi Mori, Rabbi Pelkowitz.